This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Who's and what's and why's and wherefores. Here you'll find your whatnots and therefores. So come on along, let's find out what's going on. Where's and when's and who's and what's it's. No matter what your taste, you can trust it's the place where you can find all your new Disney news. Where's and when's and who's and what's it's. No matter what you taste, you can trust it's the place where you can find all your new Disney news.
Welcome to the Sweep Spot Current Events Edition as of May 24th, 2024.
Thank you for joining us for this episode where we update you on what's been happening at the Disneyland Resort.
So my name is Lynn, and Ken's my co-host, and we're both former Disneyland custodial cast members, and we talk Disneyland. And we also host the number one Disneyland podcast hosted by two former Disneyland custodians.
Number one.
We're also the authors of the books Queenie and the Kingdom. You can get signed copies of the second book currently at our website, thesweepspot.com, or you can get both editions of the book, but not signed, on Amazon paperback editions. And also you can get electronic editions, like digital or electronic, whatever you want to call it, like on Kindle and stuff. And you can also get the audiobook version, wherever audiobooks are found, like Audible or Apple Books. All right. So I also wanted to mention that we have a Patreon, and you can help support our show for $5 or more per month. You can join in our chat room, as you'll hear tonight, as we record our current events live. You can be in the chat room and chat amongst others of Patreons that were there. And you listen to the show as we record it and kind of comment, and we'll kind of try to incorporate some of your comments into the recording. It's a lot of fun. And that's for $5 or more per month. And you get one bonus episode that Ken and I record specifically for the Patreons. We do that once a month. And so that you can sign up at thesweepspot.com and look for the Patreon link, or go to Patreon and search for The Sweep Spot. So now another new added perk that I'm going to give everyone, regardless of how much you give per month, a dollar, all the way up to whatever, we're going to start recording. So we've always recorded like on a Friday night. It kind of works out best for our schedules, but we would generally put the current events out that night, as I would try to hurry and edit it and try to get it out as soon as possible. And that still will be the case, but it will only be for Patreons that you'll get that the same night we record it, unless something happens. Sometimes I'll put it on Saturday if I just had a long day, and but generally the idea is to put it out that night. And then for everyone else that's not a Patreon, it will be out on Monday early morning. So, yeah, So that's kind of the new plan. And I think even our regular episodes, the main topic episodes, will also come out on Mondays. Also, I think we're going to try something different. We're always trying to change things, improve things, and we'll see if this is a good improvement or not. Also, we're going to be at the D23, the Ultimate Fan Experience in August. So if you don't have tickets, then it's sold out. But if you do have tickets, yeah, that's true. I don't promote that. But yeah, you can.
No, not at all.
But yeah, if you're going, then you know when it is. It's in, I think it's like the 9th, 10th, 11th, something like that. So you can, we'll be there. We'll be at Laughing Places booth, and we're going to be selling our books there and just hanging out for a few hours each day. So if you've been to D23 in the past, we've been there all day long, all 3 days from opening to close. And this time we will only be there a few hours each day, and we'll announce which hours those are for each day as we get closer. I think I covered everything, Ken. Before we get into our current events, though, we're going to have Eric giving us the D180.
Hello, everyone. This is Eric Johnson with Consi Ears, and welcome to the D180. While Ken and Lynn cover all things Disneyland, in the D180, we take a spin around the rest of the Disney universe, and we do it in 180 seconds. Let's jump right in. We begin our journey this week at Tokyo Disney Sea, where a whole new world is ready for guests. Starting June 6th, this brand new land will transport you into the realms of Disney's most beloved stories. DisneySea is already a pretty impressive park, but this new land is going to be an absolute must-see. Take a trip to Arendelle, where you can visit with Anna and Elsa. This area looks just like the Norwegian town, complete with homes, the castle, the North Mountain looming in the distance. Inside the land, you can take a boat ride and enjoy some of your favorite songs from the Frozen movies on Anna and Elsa's Frozen journey. Take some extra time and dine inside the Royal Banquet of Arendelle while you're in town. Fly off to Neverland for some time with Tinkerbell and Peter Pan. Captain Hook's ship is moored nearby, and so are two more attractions. Swing by Rapunzel's forest and take a trip through her Lantern Festival, yet another boat ride through a fantasy kingdom. Fantasy Springs looks incredible from the videos and pictures I've seen so far. On its own, it's a large area with plenty of new things the entire family can enjoy together. But if you take a longer look, you will be rewarded with tons more detail. All around the area, you can find nods to classic Disney stories and even other Disney parks. Perched up in the hills, you can spot Anna and Elsa's Royal Summer House, a replica of their home in Epcot. Inside Rapunzel's Lantern Festival, you can spot her pal Pascal and many of Rapunzel's paintings. Board the Jolly Roger and look for one of the captain's spare hooks, and even his maps of Neverland. Even the rock work here has hidden details. All around the area, you'll find your favorite characters carved into, fake stone. Pocahontas and Miko are paddling a canoe with a tumbling waterfall behind them. Alice and the Caterpillar sit atop mushrooms surrounded by a hazy mist. Cinderella runs down a rocky staircase, her lost slipper surrounded by cascading water. There are characters everywhere, seemingly carved out of the granite by flowing water. Seriously, though, look up these pictures. These carvings are way more than simple statues, as each seems to organically rise from the background. Water flows and flowers bloom throughout each display. Oh, and there's even a new hotel. Yeah, the Fantasy Springs Hotel is part of the land itself. It's the second hotel located completely within Tokyo Disney Sea. If you've ever dreamed of staying close to the magic of a Disney park, maybe it's time to upgrade your expectations and stay inside the magic. I can't wait to see how this new land comes together when it opens up in a few days. Maybe a cross-Pacific trip is in order. I hope you enjoyed our quick spin around the rest of the Disney universe. If you would like to learn more about these Disney adventures or just have a few questions, please come on over. visit the social media and websites of both The Sweep Spot and Consi Ears. Then reach out to Lynn, your personal travel planner. He looks forward to planning something special for you and your family. For Consi Ears, I'm Eric Johnson, and this has been your D180.
Looking to go to Disneyland Resort in California, Walt Disney World Resort in Florida, Aulani in Hawaii, or on a Disney cruise, or Adventures by Disney Vacation, I am here to help you book the best vacation possible, and my expertise and services won't cost you anything extra. Disney pays me, not you. As a perk by booking a package with me, I can also book your dining reservations, park reservations, tours, shuttles, and more. Let me do the hard work while you get excited about your upcoming Disney vacation. I can also book Universal Studios trips as well. Contact me at lbarron, that's LBARRON, at concierge.com, that's concierge.com, or thesweepspot@gmail.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Now we're going to have the current events. Ken, what do you have for us?
Oh, Lynn, I've got some stuff for you. Some really important stuff. There was another story on Avatar Land, and it's chock full of intricate details explaining everything that's going on, where the land is going, and everything that'll be there, and when it opens. Not really. I'm sorry. That was a hallucination. what the story I'm starting off with is from Brady McDonald in the Orange County Register. And it's the headline is Avatar Land coming to Disneyland Resort. Disney CEO confirms. And this is published on May 15th. And then what it says is the Disneyland Forward Plan that has been full of promises but vague on specifics throughout the three-year approval process is finally starting to come into focus, with a themed land based on the world of Pandora set to become the first project to break ground. Disney CEO Bob Iger confirmed during the Moffitt Nathanson Media. Why didn't he go with Moffitt, Mop and Bucket Media? But okay, Moffitt Nathanson Media and Communications Summit on Wednesday, May 15th, that an Avatar-themed land is coming to the Disneyland Resort. Quote, "We have just gotten approval from the city of Anaheim for the biggest expansion of Disneyland since we opened California Adventure in 2001, Iger said during the presentation. Quote, it's huge, it's a huge expansion. We haven't been specific about what's going to be in it, except for Avatar.
Okay.
Further down in the story, it says Iger has been teasing an exciting Avatar experience for the Disneyland Resort since February 2023. Concept art released in April of the Avatar-themed land proposed for the Disneyland Resort shows jutting rocks and floating mountains amid gushing geysers and alien flora, and a boat filled with riders passes through a shop where they can buy all sorts of goodies. Passes through an aqua green lagoon leading toward a cascading waterfall. At the time, Iger described the concept art as, quote, creative inspiration, end quote, for a potential Avatar experience being designed by Walt Disney Imagineering. Disney's creative arm is teaming up with Avatar filmmaker James Cameron on the new land. Well, that's it. I mean, there's no... all it did was say, yeah, Bob Iger mentioned Avatar is coming again. You know, how many times is this going to happen?
Yeah, because we already saw and talked about the concept art that came out, a month or so ago? Or more now. So we kind of already knew that information. But yeah, I will say one thing. I hope that at first when I heard this one, oh no, because I'm not really into Avatar, but I know obviously some people are. It does really well in the theaters. But if they do it, I hope it's not anything like Walt Disney World. I hope that if they do two attractions, say, I hope that they're both unique to Disneyland.
Yeah. That would be interesting if they gave us some completely different experiences than are there. I do like this, you know, there's people who say, no, they should be the same because most people are not going to visit both resorts. But I tend to like I wish Walt Disney World still had more of a draw for me. You know, being so close to Disneyland, I don't feel as much pressure to go to Walt Disney World because it doesn't have so much that I like that's different anymore. It's still a great place to go, especially if you're if you don't live close to Disneyland. It's still a wonderful place to go and book your trips with Lynn. But there's a lot less pressure for somebody who visits Disneyland regularly. So I hope the Avatar experience will be different. I still haven't experienced Avatar at Walt Disney World. And
I haven't either.
Yeah. You know, that's one reason to go. But
we do have some comments here, though.
Oh, some comments already from the chat room, from the Patreon supporters in our chat room, our coveted chat room.
Well, what was I going to say? Oh, so Stephanie had asked, how do y'all feel about Pandora at Disneyland? So John said, Pandora is everything no one asked for.
Wait, he seems to have an opinion on this. I'm not quite sure what that opinion is, but maybe he'll get it through to us someday that, you know, whether he wants to see it or not. Pandora at Disneyland's great. It's a great way to listen to music.
what I don't get is this seems to be that most the people I listen to a lot of podcasts, and not a lot, but I listen to probably like 10 different podcasts, and a lot of people are not interested in this or excited about this, but obviously they wouldn't be doing it and spending all this money to do it if they thought no one would go and enjoy it. And it has been very popular at Walt Disney World. It's in Animal Kingdom there. So
there are other podcasts.
Yes, there are.
You know, what they could go ahead and continue.
Well, I was going to say, and so then we have, John said the movies are okay, but not great. You know, Patrick said Avatar Land is big at Walt Disney World. Not sure how it would play here. They need more Michael said, any more tie-ins for all those upcoming sequels? That's true. They do have a lineup of other sequels to the movies coming out. I'm sure... See, Christine said to me, Pandora is more about looks than anything else. It does look really neat, especially at night. The photos and videos I've seen at Walt Disney World, it does look really neat at night.
They could do an overlay to City Hall, and you go in there and like all the guest relations people are blue. You know?
What a great idea.
So
yeah. No, I bet we'll hear more about this in at D23 this summer.
I would be shocked if they don't say something there.
Or have any kind of models or more concept art or something, right?
Right. You know what they could do is, you know, there's talk about Paramount being acquired. Disney could acquire all the rights for Star Trek from Paramount.
Okay.
And then have a little spaceport, you know, a new part, a third part could be a spaceport, and you choose whether you want to fly to the Star Wars stuff or the Avatar Pandora stuff or Star Trek. There you go. There's your third part.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, anyways, everyone seems to have the same opinions about it. But I will have an open mind about it. I'm sure whatever they do, it will be great. And we'll find out more as it gets closer.
Yes. I am greedy, so I'm doing the next story as well. Okay. It's as we record, this is what's going to happen. Fantasmic is returning. And of course, the Orange County Register had a story on it from Brittany McDonald called Fantasmic Viewer's Guide for Return of Disneyland Nighttime Spectacular. And this is from May 23rd. And as he says in here, our viewer's guide has everything you need to know to catch the return of the fan favorite nighttime show that has been entertaining crowds since 1992. Yeah, so if you want to go to our website, thesweepspot.com, go to the current events area, click through, you can get to the full story. But it continues, Disneyland will kick off summer with the triumphant return of Fantasmic on Friday, May 24th. It says here, the 27-minute show will typically play twice a night at 9 p.m. and 10:30 p.m. Isn't it like 22 minutes?
I don't know.
Did they add 5 minutes to the show?
Maybe.
It's been a while since I've seen it, so I guess it's possible. Expect massive crowds during the opening night and throughout Memorial Day weekend as fans rush back to Disneyland to catch the updated show that includes a new battle scene between Maleficent and Sorcerer Mickey, as well as return of a beloved Peter Pan scene aboard the sailing ship Columbia. Disneyland crews have been working to repair the Fantasmic Dragon since the technically impressive 40-foot-tall audio animatronic burst into flames during a performance of the Nighttime Spectacular in April of 2023. Fantasmic won't include the dragon figure when the show returns, but will instead feature new special effects during the battle scene between Sorcerer Mickey and Maleficent. There's going to be just, they're going to have a dance off is what they're going to do. Disneyland will bring back a fan favorite Peter Pan scene in place of a Pirates of the Caribbean sequence when the show returns. The Peter Pan scene was replaced by a Pirates of the Caribbean sequence aboard the sailing ship Columbia when Fantasmic underwent an extensive refurbishment in 2017. Where's the best place to watch the show? As with everything at Disneyland now, you can pay your way to get to the front of the line, or in this case, the best seat in the house. Dining packages offer a 3 or 4 course meal, along with a reserved prime viewing spot for the show. If you can find a reservation, that is, tables have been disappearing fast at Blue Bayou, Riverbell Terrace, and Rancho del Zocalo that offer fantastic dining packages for $25 to $99 per person. Wow.
What a deal.
Yeah. So it's quite an extensive story. They do tell you, it's not like the old days where it was first come, first serve as far as reserving the best spots. Mm-hmm. People used to spread starting at 4 p.m. People used to spread tarps out.
Remember that?
There were regulars that we knew that did that. But what they would do is they would find, as it's getting close to showtime, they'd find a family that was just kind of obviously desperate to find a spot. And, family with little kids or whatever. And they would say, "Hey, you looking for a spot for Phantasm?" And say, "Yeah." And they go, "Oh, well, come sit on our tarp over here." So that was something nice. And the cast members who worked the show would got to know these people. So they would, they would kind of work out a deal. The cast members knew they could do some sort of service recovery by, "Hey, come on. I know somebody who saves spots every night. Come by and we'll give you a spot." So, that's but funny. None of that.
They work out a deal.
Work out a deal. Yeah. No. But service recovery. Say, right, "Oh, I'm sorry, you're having such a tough time. You know what? If you want to see the show, come on by. I'll be here, and I'll take you to a spot." Yeah. But none of that anymore. Of course, myshad.com also has everything you need to know about Fantasmic's return to Disneyland. That's from Samantha Davis Friedman. And Laughing Place has Maleficent Rises in reimagined battle scene when Fantasmic returns to Disneyland this weekend. That's Tony Betty. Our chat room Patreon supporters saying anything about this?
They are.
Uh-huh.
Lots to say. I just have to find where it is. It says... Michael, right, where was it? Oh, Michael said a new video will be on YouTube at 9:28. yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of YouTube live streamers getting.
Yeah, this time instead of the dragon bursting into flames, Mickey bursts into flames.
Well, that's what Michael said. This time, Maleficent wins. No, but they were also talking about. How Hungry Bear used to have the dining package, but I think it's because of all the construction over there in Critter. I think they'll probably bring it back. It's just that's why they have it temporarily over at Rancho. Which one thing I'm a little disappointed about, Rancho has let me down a little bit here. I used to like the enchiladas there, and someone had said they're not on the menu, and I checked. As of last week, they were off the menu, which I don't understand. I thought maybe they weren't selling, but I bought them.
Wow.
So, yeah. So anyways, that's happening over there. And I'm interested to see. I'll probably, when we're done, by the time we're done here tonight, there'll be videos out about it probably. But I'm interested to see about the Peter Pan scene because I that was one of obviously my favorite, but I know a lot of other people really enjoyed the Peter Pan scene. So I'm glad they brought that back. John, enchiladas are down for refurbishment.
They're closed to Imagineer brand new food.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they bring back some of the stuff they had. Remember when Rancho first opened, Ken, we were working there, they had half of it was barbecue because the ranch had closed down. Remember that?
Yeah, the Big Thunder Ranch, which
was kind of,
I wish they would have,
relocated.
Had an equivalent somewhere on property,
Yeah, I still think over in, over there by Soren, that that area over there in California Adventure, they could do something. All right, Redwood Creek Challenge Trail. Turn that into a, put a restaurant over there. Yeah. All right, let's move on because we have more to talk about. This next story is from Brady McDonald over at OC Register, and it's titled Disneyland's Club 33 to get its own Hollywood movie. Starring Ken Pellman. No.
That's right.
The secret, private, and mysterious Club 30. Is it really mysterious anymore?
Yeah. You had, I didn't even have to write that. You had the same thought I had.
At Disneyland is getting the theme park to silver screen treatment with a murder mystery tale set in the magical dining club and hosts of suspects that reads like who's who of history's greatest figures, Goosebumps and Shazam. Screenwriter Darren Limke has been tapped to write the script for Club 33 film set in the fantastical world of the members only New Orleans Square restaurant, according to the Hollywood Reporter. That sounds really interesting, actually. Okay, the Club 33 film will be helmed by Fall Guy and Deadpool Wolverine director Sean Levy in partnership with 21 Laps Entertainment, the team behind Stranger Things and the Night at the Museum film franchise. Ooh, it sounded better and better. I saw that movie, The Fall Guy. It was really good. Okay, the Club 33 movie backstory centers on an aspiring young detective who investigates a murder at the Magical Dining Club after receiving a mysterious invitation to the Disneyland Hideaway, according to the Hollywood Reporter. The suspects, some of the greatest and most iconic figures from across history who all happen to be Club 33 members. The Club movie project will exude the tone and vibes of Clue. Ooh, that was a good movie. And The Night at the Museum, according to Hollywood Reporter. Disney announced a sequel to Jungle Cruise was in the works shortly after the release of the film in 2021, but not much has been heard since. Disney has tried and failed twice with Haunted Mansion movies in 2003 and 2023. Earlier attempts with Tower of Terror, 97, Mission to Mars, 2000, and Country Bears, 2002, have long since been forgotten. Not by me. Tower of Terror is a classic in our house.
There you go.
I like that movie. But that hasn't stopped Disney from trying. Projects based on Space Mountain, Big Thunder Mountain, and Society of Explorers and Adventurers are in various stages of development. Space Mountain doesn't sound as interesting as maybe Big Thunder, or especially the Societies of Explorers and Adventurers. That sounds
well. They really could tie Club 33 into the Society of Explorers and Adventurers.
That's true.
They could tie that. We actually, by the way, you mentioned Country Bears. We actually know somebody who's on screen for like a split second in that movie.
Oh, really?
she's been on the podcast with her husband, Doobie. Rebecca. Rebecca's actually in that for like half a second. I'm definitely wondering what the chat room people have to say about this. But first, we already know what the sequel's going to be called, Club 34. So.
No, I you know what? I had no idea about this until I read it. That is really cool. Where are we at here? There's still comments about Avatar. I want to see.
You wonder how many people. I mean, is it really something that's really tied into the club, or is it just they're just using the name? But then again, why would they use the name? You know, it's
right.
Right. I mean, a lot of Disney people know about it. A lot of people who want to know trivia about Disneyland know about it. But how much brand? It doesn't really have a lot of name recognition out there. Now, you mentioned the Fall Guy. The sequel to that is the Winter Guy. So, yeah. dad jokes for days, folks.
Yeah. Well, so some of the comments we have here, Stephanie had said, yes, I've never been inside Club 33, so it's mysterious to me. I think what I was meaning is before I would say David Koenig's book Mouse Tales was one of the first books that I read. I mean, I'm sure there was other sources that talked about it, but he really talked more about it in that book. And that book brought out a lot of things that at the time weren't even written or talked about until then. So, but yeah, but now I think almost everyone's at least heard of it. But up to that point, I mean, I didn't even know what Club 33 was, you know, in the 80s and early 90s. So
we should just do basic trivia. We should do an episode that's just basic trivia about Disneyland that that everybody, like almost anybody who knows anything about Disneyland knows. Like, you know, Disneyland opened, I mean, even though Jurassic Park got it wrong, probably intentionally. But, you know, when did Disneyland open? July 17th, 1955, you know. You know, did you know there's a secret club in Disneyland? Yes, Club 33. You know, stuff like that. Like, you know, the force perspective that's used in the castle and right. You know, the Main Street shot, the Main Street facades.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. But,
well, yeah. Michael said he'd relate more to a movie about Bengal barbecue.
There you go. Now you're talking. Now you're making my mouth water. I want a movie called The Disney Gallery. How about that? You know, yeah. Somebody joked online. I don't remember who it was. Sorry, folks, if it's one of you. But they said, coming soon, the Main Street trash can movie. And I thought, well, they've got our books. You know, they could, you know. We're still trying to work out the casting with Brad Pitt and whoever else, but you know.
Yeah, right. Well, I didn't know anything about, so I'm pretty excited. I hope this actually works out because all those things. I love the Clue movie, and I really thought the Night at the Museum was a really good idea, and I thought they were well done.
Yeah.
Movies. So I hope this does happen.
Yeah, really I hope good. I hope if it happens, I hope they do it really well.
Yeah,
it has the potential to be something that's really well. I've long had Lynn. Maybe it's time to write another series of books. Long had, like, probably as long as I've had ideas for the books that we did do. Ding 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 ding. Shameless plug. Cleaning the Kingdom, Insider Tales of Keeping Wall Street Spotless, and then the sequel. But I have a fictional series in mind that I've had for a long time.
Oh,
and maybe someday eventually I'll write it. I, you know, but it does take place in, you know, the park. Actually, I mean, the park is not Disneyland officially, but if you read it, you would recognize it. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I'm always interested in what the chat room Patreon supporters have to say. So let's keep an eye on those comments.
All right.
I can move on to the next story if...
Let's do it.
Okay. All right. From micechat.com. Say hey, howdy, hey to Disneyland's Pixar Pier Hotel from MiceChat staff. This was updated. I'll read the updated section to it. The Small Bites Pool Bar has been opened. And the Creators Club Concierge Lounge for club level guests opens May 24th. So that's open. The Creators Club celebrates the collaboration between Walt Disney Imagineering and Pixar Animation Studios and features concept art maquettes plus a snake ride vehicle from Jessie's Critter Carousel and Firefly light fixture from a Bugs Land. The lounge will offer continental breakfast, wine and cheese receptions, beer, sparkling wine, hot bites, and desserts in the evening. So, you know, little things here and there continue to come about at the resort, and kind of in that vein, I'm going to also be selfish and take the next story. Downtown Disney goes upscale with three new elevated restaurants. And that's a Brady McDonald story from the Orange County Register. And as it says here, Downtown Disney is stepping up its culinary game from burgers, pizza, coffee, and pretzels with a new level of fine dining, offering steaks, handmade dumplings, and gourmet Mexican food from a Michelin-starred chef. So are you listening to this while you're hungry, folks? Because here we go. The outdoor shopping mall next to Disneyland has already brought in a trio of Mexican restaurant concepts from celebrity chef Carlos Gaitan, with plans for a Din Tai Fung dumpling house later this year and a new steakhouse in the near future. In early May, Gaitan opened his new Paseo restaurant, Centrico Courtyard Bar, and Tiendita Grab and Go stand that focus on his signature style, combining Mexican flavors with French haute cuisine culinary style. Gaitan's Mexique restaurant in Chicago was awarded a Michelin star in 2013 because they have good tires there, making him the first Mexican-born chef to earn the coveted honor. That same year, Gaitan joined Bravo's Top Chef reality competition show as a contestant. This week, Gaitan's restaurant, Ha, in the Mexican state of Quintana Roo, received a Michelin star among the first awarded to eateries in that country. The new Paseo, Centrico, and Tiendita eateries run by the Patina Restaurant Group take over spaces formerly occupied by Catal Restaurant, Uva Bar, and Sprinkles Cupcake Bakery. Din Tai Fung will start serving its internationally acclaimed Shanghai style I'll just say dumplings, soup dumplings.
Okay.
I won't even try to pronounce what it is. The soup dumplings this summer in Downtown Disney. The family-owned restaurant chain has locations in Southern California, Nevada, Oregon, Washington, China, Hong Kong, which is part of China at this point, Japan, Singapore, and Korea. The Taiwan-based restaurant has been awarded a Michelin star 5 times at its Hong Kong location. The Orange County Register named Din Tai Fung, or Din Tai Fung, in Costa Mesa to its annual list of the 75 best places to eat in Orange County, and called the chain's famous soup dumplings that have spawned countless imitators still the ones to beat. Disneyland will once again be home to a steakhouse after shuttering Steakhouse 55 into Disneyland Hotel during the COVID-19 pandemic. New steakhouse and barbecue concepts are planned for the former Tortilla Joe's location in Downtown Disney. No name, operator, or opening date have been announced for the new Downtown Disney steakhouse. Morton's, Fleming's, and Ruth's Chris are unlikely contenders unless one of them can be lured across Cotella Avenue from their locations near the Anaheim Convention Center. Patina operates Nick and Steph's Steakhouse by James Beard award-winning chef Joaquim Splitchell. Sorry if I'm butchering that. In Downtown Los Angeles and Midtown Manhattan. New entrant Levy Restaurants, which is behind the new Parkside Market coming to Downtown Disney, runs NBA legend Michael Jordan's steakhouse at a casino in Washington State. So there's a lot of possibilities. Wondering if the chat room people have anything to say about what's happening outside the parks at the Paradise Pier Hotel, or excuse me, the Pixar Place Hotel. It used to be Paradise Pier. And the Downtown Disney restaurants.
No.
Not really. All right. They're too busy. They're too busy having fun side conversations, aren't they?
Well, Steph said, do we need a steakhouse in Downtown Disney?
Yes. Just,
yeah.
They need a wide variety of stuff in Downtown Disney. You know, bring in the In-N-Out Burger. You know?
I think that, well, with Steakhouse 55 closing, that it might, there's a need for that. But I don't know. There's a lot of choices now. I mean, there's a lot of new restaurants coming in there. And obviously, you know, a lot of them are hard to get reservations for in the past. So obviously there's a need. So I hope these all do well, but I don't really have too much to say about it. Michael Park said, I'm too cheap. Earl of Sandwich every time saves money for pins. All right. Well, let's move on. This next one is from Brady McDonald, the OC Register. It's titled, Downtown Disney Store Closes After a Decade to Make Room for a New Shop. A Downtown Disney destination for sandals and flip-flops for more than a decade has shut its doors to make room for a new shop that may soon be selling trendy backpacks sporting Disney designs or delectable bath soaps shaped like donuts and cupcakes. The California Soul Shoe and Sandal Store closed in early May at the Downtown Disney Outdoor Shopping Mall next to Disneyland. It is with mixed emotions that we bid farewell to Disney, or to Disney, to farewell to Disneyland. No, farewell to California Soul Anaheim at Downtown Disney District. California Soul owners Wayne and Kate Heck posted on the store's official Instagram account, while we've had a great ride and will never forget our loyal customers, it's time for us to pursue some of our lifelong passions and interests. The Disneyland Resort looks forward to sharing more details about the future of the former California Soul space in Downtown Disney District at a later date, according to Disneyland officials.
I wonder what those lifelong passions and interests are. Probably not paying exorbitant amounts of rent. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't even know if I know where this was. Was it like across from, I don't even know anymore.
I can't even keep track. I mean,
Marceline's was there? I don't.
I mean, we've said it before. Downtown Disney keeps, it's always in flux. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the resort, really, Downtown Disney is a retail dining and entertainment area that is kind of between the parks on the west side. You get past the entrances of the parks. The California Adventure entrance faces the Disneyland entrance. You get past that, and there's all these shops and restaurants there, and some entertainment and stuff like that. And it kind of connects the hotels to the theme parks. And but it's always in flux, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's always needs, and things are popular at one point, and they aren't anymore, and.
You'll never see a story that says, like, the headline says store closing at Downtown Disney, and like the story is, you know, World of Disney is closing for good.
No.
Yeah,
it's true. I mean, in a way, Downtown Disney is like Disneyland, right? Remember when Disneyland first opened? It was mostly not Disney stores. Yeah. And now more and more Disney stores are moving in, types of stores. And I think the dress shop is taking over more space, and Marceline's is getting more. So yeah, everything's just kind of growing as far as the Disney side. And that's fine.
It's more more Disney-fied.
Yeah, Disney-fied. Let's see if we have any comments here. Let's see.
You know, Downtown Disney's a place that locals can go to. If you know they're not going to the parks, even they just wanted a place to hang out, place to do some eating and some, you know, enjoy some of the musicians or whatever. Which I think was the intention, was that, you know, this can be a place that locals can go to. I don't think they really expected a lot of people to say, hey, I'm going to take a break out of the parks and go to downtown. Except for me, you know, there might be a restaurant that somebody wanted. Mm-hmm. Hey, let's go out. I got reservations at this restaurant since we don't really have the equivalent inside the park. So let's go for lunch and then we'll come back into the park, you know, or even if they're those kind of people that take a break at their hotel during the day, you know, they might stop off there first. Mm-hmm. I really hope that with resort, you know, with Disneyland Forward, I really hope they make it really, really easy to go to Downtown Disney, really easy to like drop somebody off there and pick them up. Mm-hmm. I think that'll be good if they can do that. So try to make it as easy as possible.
What we used to do, what we still do, is especially if we're staying at a Disney hotel, we'll on our arrival day, because you know it takes a 6-hour drive. Really not much we can do on arrival day. I mean, we could go in the parks, but we don't have I have annual pass, but all of us in our family don't, so we don't really go in the park. So we usually go to Downtown Disney and grab something to eat. So I think a lot of people seem to do that. I mean, some of the trips I book, some people, you know, I try to get reservations for dining for some people in Downtown Disney. So I think that they can kind of count on just hotel guests and then locals. I think they're trying to get more locals too, I would think, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Is that their goal audience, or is it more of the tourists, you know, that are coming in? I don't, or a mixture of both, probably.
Yeah, you have to sit there. I mean, some of the stuff, it's like, it's just really convenient for somebody out of town to, for some of the stores, you know, is this convenient for somebody out of town to buy, you know?
Right, without a vehicle.
Or is it more for somebody who's local, you know?
Mm-hmm. Because there's so many choices outside of I know what it's like living in Southern California. There's tons of choices. But when you don't have a car and you're staying at a resort or hotel near Disneyland, yeah, there's choices around the resort. But sometimes people like to just be immersed in the, in Disney as soon as they get there and start their vacation. So, yeah.
They're extending their visit.
Right. Which,
you know, they're not in the parks, but they're still at Disney.
Yeah. I mean, if we had our way, Compass Books would still be there. But, you know, things must change.
It would be there selling Cleaning the Kingdom, Insider Tales of Keeping Walt's Dream Spotless. Ding, 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 ding. And the follow-up, Cleaning the Kingdom, Night, Day, Past, and Present. Right. Yeah. Well, let me know if there's any chat room stuff about that. Because our Patreon supporters are there in the chat room. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, Disneyland character performers vote to unionize. And this was in the Orange County Register, Brady McDonald. We've been tracking this story as it's been going on. Mickey Mouse, Sleeping Beauty, Darth Vader, and other Disneyland employees who work with Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars character performers have voted to unionize, according to the union organizing workers. The National Labor Relations Board announced the results of the vote on Saturday, May 18th, following a 4-day union election at Disneyland by character and parade performers. Disneyland's 1,700 character and parade performers, calling themselves Magic United, will be unionized under the Actors Equity Association. The vote was 953 yes votes to 258 no votes, with 78.7% of the votes cast in favor of unionizing, according to Equity. Equity has been circulating a list of key issues facing non-union Disneyland characters and parade performers that include pay, annual raises, safety, costumes, scheduling, seniority, job security, and dessert. I threw in dessert, but Disney princesses, Marvel superheroes, and other character performers who work at Disneyland and DCA make $24.15 per hour, and an additional $4.75 per hour if they perform on stage, according to the Disney Auditions website. While most of Disneyland's 35,000 employees are represented by 26 unions, the park's 1,100 character performers and 600 parade performers and support staff had not been unionized until now. California's minimum wage increased to $16 an hour in 2024, with the hourly rate set to rise to $18 in 2025. After a lengthy court fight, Anaheim's Measure L boosted Disneyland's minimum wage to nearly $20 an hour. Yeah, and the story was also covered by Laughing Place. Luke Manning there covered the story. So, as I've said before, Oswald has the most seniority. So, he's probably going to get the best shifts. What do you think, Lynn?
Well, I'm glad they're doing this. Those cast members work very hard, as we've seen. They're put in unique situations. And sometimes you have to just think on the cuff. You know, you have to come up with ideas. And a lot of them can't speak.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I mean, that's difficult because you always have to be positive and upbeat. And, there are people, especially younger guests, who are looking to you as so special. And you're making or breaking their visit. You know, they might have been lured on the trip in the first place to come see you.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Very true.
Well, all right. How's the chat room going?
They're good.
They're having fun.
Yeah, they're talking a little bit about Downtown Disney. Stephanie had a good idea about maybe they need a CVS type store in Downtown Disney instead of having to walk down Harbor. That's a good idea, actually.
Yeah, because there are those two. There used to be neither one, and then they two pharmacies went up down there at Harbor and Catella. But yeah, that was smart to have those. But one, it would be good to have one there on property. She's absolutely right.
Yeah, that would be a great idea. All right, let me keep moving on here to my story I have here from Laughing Place. Luke Manning, May 23rd, 2024. Let's see here. Laughing Place. Pin Trading Nights return to Disneyland Resort for the first time since 2020. For the first time since February 2020, Pin Trading Nights are returning to the Disneyland Resort with the first event to take place on June 4th. During this ticketed event, show your enthusiasm for pin trading along with other avid and novice traders and share stories about your collections. In addition to trading pins, attendees will receive one edible treat, be able to preview your upcoming releases, and can repurchase select theme pins from the Stitch 626 Experiment Collection.
Mm-hmm.
So this is really I didn't even know about this. Pin trading.
Yeah, this is interesting that it's coming back after being gone, for all these years.
They don't really have details about it, though. Oh, June 4th. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it's at the hotel. So, yeah, in case everyone is wondering, it's June 4th, 6 to 10 at the in the ballroom at the Disneyland Hotel. You can purchase tickets, $39 a person. Well, that's cool.
They're not holding it at the Frontierland entrance?
Or the Esplanade now? Yeah, no. Yeah. Well, that's neat. I've never been that much into pins. I have some pins, but there wasn't like a, I don't have a huge collection. Do you have pins, Ken?
You know, mine are older. Of course, anything Disney gave us, I kept.
Right. Yeah.
But I would buy pins. I'd only buy pins if I really liked them.
Yeah.
And I was never a pin trader. Like, and I would never do it while I was working, even though we could have. But I just, once they start, like, I used to try to get any pin that I could where I actually liked it. And like, even like on a visit to Walt Disney World, one of the time I spent like one day just going to the different hotels there, and each hotel had at least one store in it. And at the time, a lot of them had a pin just for that hotel. Mm-hmm. And if I liked it, I would get it. But once they started making pins for everything,
yeah,
you know, like I like the trash can pins. I got those. But, you know, when it got to the point where it's just like, yeah, there's I can't keep up. I'm not going to try to keep up. I'm glad I have the collection I do. I really need to bring out my pins and sell off the extras.
Yeah, go on down to the Esplanade.
That's right.
You know what I think? One good idea, because, yeah, it is overwhelming. There's so many different types. I mean, I've gone in that little pin shop in Frontierland, and the whole entire wall is just full of pins. And I thought, man. But if you have, like, one particular character or attraction or something that you're into, then that's probably the best way to go, because then you can kind of focus in on, you know, say Donald Duck or whatever, you know, and Haunted Mansion or something like that. Because then, but man, trying to even just like to get the ones you like, I mean, they're not cheap anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I remember the days, buttons. Mm-hmm. They would have like a, well, they were very distinctive, but the buttons were cheap because they'd be like $1.
Yeah.
Back in the day. And at the time, like, the sales tax was like 6 cents or whatever. California, it's higher now in California. But, you know, with my allowance, I could buy a button, you know, pins. I thought, well, those are more expensive, you know. but once I was earning my own money, I could do that. But yeah, it's, the buttons were better, I think, in terms of the kids could spend their allowance money or whatever it was, you know, maybe their paper route money or whatever. And, you know, they saved up on a trip and, they wanted something that said Disneyland or maybe something from their favorite attraction or whatever. And that was an inexpensive item they could get, and they could wear it too, you know.
That's true. As far as souvenirs, it's probably one of the least expensive souvenirs.
Yeah,
there are some comments here about pins. Christine said, yeah, pins get expensive, it can add up. She said she makes some of her pins into refrigerator magnets.
Yeah, especially if they break, if the pin itself breaks off, then, you know, yeah, make it into a, it might be a great magnet. So, cool. As usual, mychat.com had a couple of Disneyland updates, and there was one from Photo Matt, and from May 13th, called Tiana's Timeline Expansion Approval Plus Pixar, Fantasmic and More. So, Pixar, Fantasmic and More. Oh my. as it starts off, this week, our Disneyland update is full of food, glorious food from the themed Pixar Fest marketplaces to fantastic dining packages to Mother's Day brunches. So yeah, all these updates have lots of pictures, so you can get a look at everything. And there was another one, another update from May 20th from Suzanne Lee called Double the Powder and Shorten the Fuse. So, and as that starts off, after 13 months, Fantasmic returns this Friday to once again light up the rivers of America with visions fantastic. It's our is it our imagination, or is progress around the Haunted Mansion less ghostly as construction begins to materialize? Memorial Day and summer approaches. Let's see what's cooking at the resort. So yeah, always, you know, always chock full of information and pictures, and covering a lot of the stuff we covered during the during this episode. Mm-hmm. Anything else going in the chat rooms that we should note before we get to refurb information?
Oh, they're just chatting about pins and stuff still. That's fine. That's cool. That's one of the things that I like to see. It would probably be because you do more of the stories, which is fun. It would probably be very distracting to you to see them. But I like reading a lot of these comments. But that's the fun thing. If you like to chat amongst other Disneyland fans, you can join our Patreon. And it seems like they're having a good time. And I'm always glad to see more people joining us. All right. Is it refurb time, Ken?
Sure. Let's get the latest on the refurbishments.
So there isn't a lot of new, you know, a lot of repeats that we've talked about over the past, but I will mention them. The first one, of course, is Haunted Mansion with no return date. My assumption is some people are in hopes that it will return a little bit before Halloween season, but I have a hunch that it's going to return in August sometime. So
I wonder, have they left everything from the holiday edition in there?
That's what I'm wondering. Mean, yeah.
If they did, then it just, you know, I could see them saying, no, let's just keep it.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, I'm sure they're fast at it now, but still.
It's easier to leave it there, you know.
Right. Unless it was going to open now or anytime in the next couple of weeks, then it wouldn't be worth the time and effort to do that. So, yeah, I'm guessing it'll be sometime in August. The next thing we have is Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln. We talked a little bit about the refurbishment that's going on in our last current events. Old Abe's getting some upgrades over there. That'll be great. I'm glad that they're still working on that attraction and not, as we spoke of, not, you know, turning it into a shop or something. So,
right. Don't want it to be a shop.
So they don't have a return date on that, I imagine. I was thinking it might open by July 4th, but the calendar is now up to the as of today, it's up to the 5th of July, so it did not open. Wouldn't that have been smart? Like, I don't know. Maybe they're far away from that, but I would have thought by July 4th that would have been a good idea.
Yeah.
Winnie the Pooh, of course, is down with all of Critter Country with no return date. And there's a lot of speculation on when, because Walt Disney World has announced that Fast Pass. But anyways, so Tiana's Bayou Adventure, theirs is going to open June 28th, I believe the date was. And so a lot of people said they're about a month to 2 months behind Disney World, so that would put them in August. So yeah. maybe around D23, maybe. I mean, it would be a good idea to open up Splash Mountain and that area at the same time, because you know, it's going to get crowded over there in that area again. And with if Mansion's still down or, you know, vice versa, it's going to get pretty crazy. Also, so we don't know when that's going to reopen. Redwood Creek Challenge Trail is down, but it's going to return June 21st. So another month of that. But that's all I have. So not a ton, but we do have some.
Well, at least the Redwood Creek Challenge Trail, you know.
Yes, at least there's that.
Surprise, surprise. It's going to reopen as Pandora, the world of Avatar.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for the refurb information. Anything else in the chat room that you want to bring up?
Well, just they're talking a little bit about what I spoke of, the Tiana's Bayou Adventure, the TBA.
Tiana's Bayou Adventure.
It's a lot of people, Stephanie said, a lot of people are saying fall. So, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, fall doesn't officially start till what, in September? But I'm thinking August is my prediction.
Just
but.
get it open in time for it to be cold and rainy.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, so it should be good. I'm glad. I think everyone will be excited to see. I think their goal was to have both of them open at the same time, but
I don't know. I don't know how you do that though.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I guess they could have like done one right after the other and done a press junket that takes you, you know, cross country. Yeah. But look at all the attention the west side of the park has gotten. You know, hopefully something is announced at the D23 event for Tomorrowland. I mean, it's poor neglected, you know.
I know. I don't know.
I mean, every square inch of the, it seems like every square inch of the west side has been, you know, just cultivated a certain way. Lots of work has gone into every square inch of the west side. And then you have like, you know, the former motorboat cruise area and so many empty spaces in Tomorrowland and
Fantasyland
stuff like that. So
yeah, parts of Fantasyland haven't been touched for many years.
Well, yeah, we might not want it to be touched, depending. But you know, we do these episodes every couple of weeks, where we update you on the latest at the Disneyland Resort. Alternating with that, we release our episodes on a main topic, which is often historical, or, you know, it's just we talk about usually one thing, or we interview somebody who used to work at the resort or in Imagineering or somewhere in the company. So what you want to do, hopefully, is wherever you prefer to listen, make sure you're going to hear each episode. Subscribe, so that, you know, each free episode that comes out, you'll hear it when it does. There's, you know, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, a bunch of different places. You can just do a search on the Sweep Spot to find places. Tell your friends and family, tell your enemies where they can listen to the Sweep Spot.
That's one way to get back at them.
That's right.
Yes, thank you so much. Really appreciate everyone in the chat room and everyone listening also as you're listening to this later. Thank you so much. We really do appreciate you guys. And yeah, that's all I have to say, actually.
Thank you for joining us and spread the word.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.